Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning.
Morning, running commentary. Here we are with Vassos Alexander.
Welcome.
Morning, guys. Thank you.
Say welcome, but we're actually at your house, so that's kind of...
Actually, yes, let me say welcome. Welcome. This is my usual run.
Well, it's nice that
you... From my house.
We so often run from our houses. We're right on the other side of London, and it's a gorgeous day.
Beautiful.
You were just deciding where we're going. Where are we going today and how far?
Well, we've got the dog with us, Holly the Labrador.
Morning, Holly.
She knows, basically, she knows that in 3.5 minutes' time we will be somewhere where there is kind of wasteland that no human ever goes to, where she can poo.
A place
and we don't have to stop
perform her
pick it up.
Ablutions.
Yes. She
she's trying.
She has been known to try it on and basically just do it before that. So we have the emergency bags just in case.
Okay, and if when we get there, me or Paul want to go in, is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, but just watch out for... You know,
it's actually
Holly's there every day.
Yeah. It is reminding me of quite an exciting sequence in your book.
Well, there is, yeah. I mean, my kids love that because, you know, all runners will know that, you know, occasionally we're taken short. Not quite as dramatically as I was once during an Ironman marathon, but, you know.
You have to go there sometimes.
You do have to go.
It's a different kind of need, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit like, it's the closest we can get to knowing what it's like to be a pregnant woman and need to go to the toilet.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like I'm going to go at some point. It's yeah. This is going to happen.
What we can conclude is this is a highbrow start to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We're straight to the big issues of the day.
Runners
squatting. Let's
hope there aren't any big issues today. once we get past the dog toilet.
Well, what we've got coming up is a little bit of the bend in the River Thames. Barnes, where I live, is just in a little loop of the Thames.
Yep.
So we'll do about half of that loop, just to get a little sense of riverside running.
Lovely, really, we love it.
We're quite proud of our running round here.
Seems really nice, I must say.
So, you know, within half a mile, we're either in, you know,
woo,
Barnes Common,
yeah,
and then through there, you're only crossing one road, really, and you're in Wimbledon Common.
Yeah.
And then you can cross, you know, one more road, and you're in Richmond Park. And then, you know, and then back here in Barnes. So
brilliant.
It's nice. And we have Riverside. So we'll start with Riverside, go to Common, and see where the mood takes us.
So you really can't go out the door and do, you know, many, many miles of nice country.
Yes. However, I don't know if you have this, but, you know, I mean, I do absolutely love where I run.
Yeah.
But do you know when you sometimes think of a run that starts in your front door? Because you've done so many of them. You know, there isn't a trail. In Richmond Park,
yeah,
there are paths around it, there are paths inside it, there are kind of quite wide bits of short grass, which are sort of paths through the middle of it.
Yeah.
Then there are very narrow little bits through the heather or longer grass.
Yeah.
I must have run on every single one of those.
Yeah.
You could blindfold me, parachute me into Richmond Park, and I will tell you exactly where I am, not only... You know, in relation to the rest of the park, but to the rest of London.
Yeah. You start sprinting up the nearest hill.
Yeah.
At random.
And so I just, sometimes I go, you know, I run from here. And I do think, oh, this old run again.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of enjoying it, seeing it almost through you, just through your eyes.
Yeah,
to remind me how lucky I am.
And it's nice also when you've got just enough to mix them up. I often kind of flick through the thumbed old Rolodex of the runs I always do.
Yeah. Oh, do
I
mean, you do that
I did
as
that
well?
One the other day. I mean, it's not an actual Rolodex. It's in my mind. But the principle is the same.
Yeah.
And I'll go, yeah, I did that one. Oh, I did that one the other day. Oh, I'm sick of that one. Then I'll get to one and think, oh, no, I'm in the mood for that. You know, there's always one that you do fancy.
So she knows now. Off you go, Holly. She knows. She's off.
See you in a minute.
The river's just down there, but we'll go in here for her benefit.
It's
really
a kissing gate.
This is a little, if you ever want to do, come here and do mile repeats.
Right.
This is a little kind of lake just off the river.
Yeah.
Which is called leg of mutton, because if you look at it from above, it looks like a leg of mutton.
Whoa.
Hey, easy.
She has actually let me down there.
Oh, no,
I don't think I can leave that.
She's gone early.
She has gone early. Usually, it's down there.
Should I take a picture?
The excitement.
Please do.
It's the excitement of the company, isn't it? She wants when you mentioned mile repeats, she got really excited.
So this, you see this little path that we're on?
Yeah.
And if you look on the left, so on the right is the River Thames. On the left is another little, I don't know what you call it, it's a sort of lake.
Okay.
It's the opposite of an island.
Lagoon?
Yeah, lagoon,
I
exactly
want to say
that.
Lagoon.
This path here is exactly a mile round.
Nice. And it's beautiful, isn't it? It's a lovely little...
It's lovely. Actually, there's a little view up here. So you've got the River Thames up here. So I was going to come out of this gate, but we'll go out the next one.
It's such a gorgeous day. I'm just looking at you guys going through the dappled sunlight through these leaves. It's not going to be like this for much longer, autumn-wise.
No.
Vassos delicately carrying a plastic bag of...
Of poo.
Yeah. I really miss
like
it.
Like some weird poo relay.
But this being Barnes, it has to be a Waitrose bag, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it being relay,
it's classy,
it doesn't, do we have to take it in shifts?
So just, I mean, there's a bench coming up here. Just have a look at that. Maybe even pause. You know, we're in central London.
Yeah,
you can't
see
a building, you can't hear a car.
Yeah, look at that.
That's
gorgeous.
That's gorgeous. Yeah.
I'm Instagramming that.
Really nice, really nice.
And it is so nice to get by rivers. I'm saying this, it's just good for the soul.
Yes.
In September, I've done gigs in Newcastle and Glasgow and run by the Tyne and by the Clyde. It's just fantastic. Unbeatable.
Here comes the dog. Watch out, a little torpedo coming through.
So where are you at with your running at the moment? I mean, we'll chat about the book in a bit, which is fab, which I'm loving the book. But where are you, what are you currently engaged in, Vass? What's happening?
I'm about a month behind you guys in marathon preparation.
Right.
Sorry, Steve in Spain. Polly, come on.
Ahead of us in almost every other conceivable way.
Yeah, not a bit of it. Well, I mean, definitely not a bit of it, because I remember, Paul, reading your column in Runner's World. I haven't read it for a while, to be honest, because, you know,
You don't have to. Don't explain. It's fine. It's there every month. You're a busy man.
Well, I just got to the stage where I was getting Runner's World, and I was thinking, hang on, I've read an issue where you can smash your 10k PB.
I know. It's so hard to think of anything new with those.
Yeah.
Monthly max, isn't it? Get faster over 5k, 10k, losing weight, running as you get older. It's just the same stuff, it's the same simple stuff, isn't it?
But it's
running's
great,
let's do it.
Yeah. But I mean, but especially for someone who was new to running, sort of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago when I was, it's great to have those things.
Yes,
you know, where else do you find out about
it? Yeah, totally, yeah.
So, you started running in 2008? Is that accurate?
I think so, yes, because I remember running in Beijing during the Olympics. I was there, I think it was the BBC's first reporter in Beijing before the Olympic Games.
Brilliant.
And I decided to do a 10K through the streets of Beijing to see what the smog was like, to tell Paula.
Right.
And people looking at me like I was mad. And me thinking, wow. Wow. I suppose I would call myself a runner.
And what was the smog like? Because
it was terrible.
Yeah,
really.
But that was before they made it rain.
I was in Shanghai once and we just went out, not running or anything, just walking in the afternoon. And I had a sore throat after about an hour and a half. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And I chose a you know, a bad day for it. I sort of on purpose, so that, you know,
yes,
I can make for a better
feature. What a lovely start to your running story. A bit of impurities down the lungs.
Well, I mean, what a lovely start to this podcast. We've done poo and smog.
You do seem drawn to extremes, though, Gus, don't you? You started running, you took to it. Before long, you were running. You know, you've run all night. You've run a 100-mile race. You're like extremes.
I mean, but I am now. You know, I didn't know whether I did 100 miles in the summer.
Yeah.
But the reason, by the way, I'm a month or so behind you, is you guys are doing...
We're doing York.
York next weekend.
Yes.
And I'm doing New York about a month after that.
Yeah.
You should do York with us, because then New York will make a lot more sense.
York's meant to be lovely.
Yeah, I did it. I did it 2 years ago, and it's really great. Although it was foggy, so I didn't see much. People were asking what it was like. So, well, it was nice to run, but I didn't really see anything.
Yeah, speaking of Beijing, the day I had one morning off, the day I went to see the Great Wall of China, which is about 3 hours out of Beijing.
Yeah.
It was so foggy, you couldn't see the wall, even when you were standing on it.
Wow.
So you don't really know you were there.
Yeah.
So you're in a bit of a high mileage, but proper training.
I just fell in love. I did the Southwest Downs 100 miler.
How far had you run before you did that 100 miles?
I had done...
She's off again.
She is off again.
She reminds me of me.
Right. Luckily, there is a bin up there.
It's a shame in a way. We kind of wanted to watch you carry that bag all the way around.
Yeah. I'm sure I brought a reserve bag, but it's not in my pocket, so luckily it was a big bag.
I could just get a flash forward to me and Paul pulling, reaching into the bum bags later on. This isn't a recorder.
So yes, I did the Southwest Downs 100 miler.
Yeah, and so how much of a leap was that to 100 miles?
I had done 100k before.
Right.
Which was great. It's called the Race to the Stones, and over this thing called the Ridgeway.
Yeah, in the Chilterns.
Yes. Starting in the Chilterns, ending in Swindon, or just south of Swindon.
Yeah.
But, which was lovely. So 62 miles, which was the longest I'd run before the 100 miler.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was a step up. There was a moment when I thought, you know, I've definitely run, you know, 63 miles now, and this is the longest run I've ever done.
Yes.
So we're going to just, I think, cross the road now. Holly, okay. Stay. Come on.
Come on. Quick.
Go on, Holly.
And
you wanted to do a long run, if you keep going along there, it's about 11 miles to Kingston Bridge along the river.
And you liked the ultras then? You liked...
I was telling you guys before we started recording that something about the 100 miles, I don't know why, but it seemed to just... complete the circle.
Right.
I finished that. I did. I mean, I.
What a nice way of putting it.
I didn't know it would do that. I did it almost because it was the next step from 100 kilometres, and I thought that'll be it then. I'll have run 100 miles. That's the sort of.
So complete, you know, what circle? Stand.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I'll, yeah.
So.
But I got to the end, and I just thought, this is what it's all about. I was almost. It was almost like a sort of, it was almost a piece.
Brilliant.
And I likened it to having kids.
Yeah.
You know, certainly as a bloke, I can't speak for anyone actually apart from myself, but
yeah.
When I had each of my children, for a good few weeks afterwards, I was just in a little bubble of everything's okay with the world.
Yep.
And,
yeah, I can relate to that.
And really nothing else matters. And actually, nothing else does, but you let real life creep back in.
Of course.
And yeah. I was in that same bubble just as strongly completing the 100 miles.
Brilliant.
And I, you know, and it's the people, but you will not meet better people.
What fellow competitors, runners, fellow
both runners. The runners, and actually moreover the volunteers.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been here for 8 hours. You are the 400th runner I've seen. But let me pick up your sweaty, vomit-covered, you know, towel. No, is that, did you want me to, well, how would you like your tea?
Brilliant.
You know, can
I put
a bit of cold water in it for you?
Yeah.
And they're just the most wonderful people. And, you know, I was lucky enough, I was relatively near the I mean, not a good runner, but I came to think of 23rd or something.
Right.
I ran with a guy who'd run a lot of it, with a guy called Sam, who'd, I think the previous year he'd come second, and he, you know, and the people around us were...
Did he help you through it a little bit then, or
yeah,
Sam or...?
I think Sam struggled early on before I did.
Right.
He kept saying that, you know, I was helping him through it, which is just him being nice. That's a sort of another case in point, you know.
Yes.
But,
well, this is nice. Where are we now?
So this is Barnes Green. Thank
about
you.
About to get run over. Cheers.
Yeah.
So he was struggling.
I think he might have been struggling a bit. Certainly at one point he said, you know, you go on. But everyone, you know, there was a guy who, after about 65 miles, was coming the other way, back towards the nearest aid station. And he said, you know, he was back to bodily functions. You know, he was weeing red.
Right.
Ooh,
and,
right. That's a bad sign. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Well, actually, Sam, who was with me, goes, really, you're going to stop for that? but anyway, apparently it had been happening for a while, and he was going to, you know, he was going to head back. And so Sam obviously said, and you know, I was with him, and I said, you know, let's walk you back. It's a mile or so to the nearest aid station.
Yeah.
And that's my 2-year-old daughter.
Nice.
Is at nursery just there.
Excellent.
As we speak.
So really, you should be asleep. Well, you can.
If last night is anything to go by, yeah. You know, and so the understanding was, we'll obviously walk back with you to the nearest aid station. And the guy refused.
Right.
And he goes, but just so you know, you're the 4th and 5th people that I've passed coming back.
Right.
And we're in the top 20 here, so some people might have been competitive.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I wasn't, but
yeah.
You know, some people ahead might have been thinking top 10 or whatever.
Right.
And he said, everyone has offered to, should I just go this way?
To help out.
To help out, to walk me back, to sort of
that's
sacrifice
great.
Their own race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I sometimes
just
see...
It goes to show that the Brownlee Brothers thing is is part of an attitude, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, they came in to the studio last week.
Yeah.
You won't, I don't know if you met them, but they are just, you will not find too nice a human being. They would do well.
Yes.
Doing the long stuff.
Yeah. So tell me about, there's lots of chat about ultras, but what fascinates me is the eating aspect of it.
Yeah, it's your first thing every time, isn't it? Yeah. So you're allowed to run.
I just love the idea of eating while running, but I'm wondering what form that takes.
Basically, I found this out doing an Ironman once, that if you don't eat, you really properly struggle.
Yeah.
And
so you've got to scoff something, of course.
Yeah. It's a case of, for most people, and again, I was lucky enough to be around people who had a lot more experience of these things, so I'm sort of quoting them a bit.
Yeah.
And also my own experiences. Just eat what you can when you can. Just to, you know, to have the calories.
Right.
Because at some point during the day, day and a half for some people, your stomach will start rejecting food.
We'll stop eating. Stop accepting it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like it all becomes, I mean, this is just from what you've said, what people said, it's like it all becomes a bit more surfacial.
Yeah, well, the thing
food,
is, you know,
food.
When it gets dark and you're on your own in the middle of the South Downs with a little patch of light from your head torch in front of you, and your entire world consists of that little bit of light.
Right.
It's like a, so it's like mindfulness, really. It's I'm fascinated by this,
the meditative, you know, thing,
the long distance thing. And what makes it so fantastic. In fact, you know, the lovely people who published my book have just agreed to publish another one on the longer stuff.
Like it. Good.
So I will, you know, if we catch up next
so
year, hopefully I'll know more.
So there's going to be 100 chapters.
It's not a bad shout, actually. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 volumes of 10. Vassos' book is 26.2 chapters. We loved your book.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great book. Well, what comes through is your joy of running. The simple joy of it is infectious.
So we're going to cross the railway line now. And we have, without really thinking about it, sort of headed towards Richmond Park. So
okay,
we'll do that.
Cool.
Then come into Wimbledon Common and back.
Cool.
Running. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You can really tell that Holly's done this before. She's,
she's leading a good runner's dog.
Off you go.
So yeah, just crossing the railway at Barnes. There they go.
So you talk about the sound of an ultra distance at one stage, about sort of the mental thing about it. Is there anything more to be said about that, or do you have to kind of run it to experience it? You know, the sort of... Because I get that feeling a bit off a marathon, the bubble feeling.
Yeah.
So obviously, running's one of those things, is it? The longer you run, if you're of sufficient fitness, the more fun it gets.
Yeah, no question.
So the idea is, the longer you run, the better it's going to get on some level mentally or whatever, you know. So
yes. I don't think it's like, you know, the drugs don't work.
Right.
I don't think it's like you need more, you crave more. It's just, it's almost like the drugs work better.
Yes.
Yeah. And...
You get into the rhythm more sort of solidly or...
Yes, I mean, I can't imagine my life without running, but yeah. It would be a lot poorer.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I think all runners would say that.
Yeah, same.
It may be the link between the physiological and the kind of spiritual is that what your body's doing is... And your ego is doing this, not your id, so you're not deciding to do it, it's happening naturally. Your body is becoming more and more efficient.
Yeah.
So you're just gradually taking things away. What would start early on as kind of fussing about the marathon and thinking about your splits, and later on you start worrying about blisters.
Yeah.
You know, if you're running 50 miles, you're thinking about food. But then somehow, the further you go, your concerns just kind of slip away. There's says the guy who's never done it.
Yeah. There's a quote from an American philosopher of several hundred years ago, maybe one of the founding fathers. Anyway, it's at the bottom of Scott Jurek, who's like the best at this.
Oh, yes.
Long distance running.
Yeah.
It's his auto signature on his email.
Yeah.
And it goes something like, beyond the very extreme of fatigue and distress, we may find amounts of ease and power that we never knew we possessed.
Yeah.
And I told that to my wife, and she said the key word is may.
Yeah.
But I disagree. I think we really do. You kind of, like, you break through a barrier, and suddenly, you know, it's like you're on the, you know...
You can go forever.
The upper echelons of nirvana.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the closest comparison in terms of hearing about it and reading about it does seem to be... deep meditation, you know?
Yes, well, that's what I think as well.
It's like eat, pray, love, you know? Elizabeth Gilbert, we're talking about...
Here we go.
Literally sitting uncomfortably...
Stay.
...on your ass.
Go on, mate.
Stay. For hours and hours and then not moving or thinking about anything. And then suddenly...
Okay. Yeah. Come on, honey. Stay.
Suddenly you're up in the cosmos, you know? And I just think... I think it would make my bum hurt. And that's true with the running.
I just... I cannot recommend it highly enough, but I'm desperate to to really try. I mean, I'm sure I won't, but I'll at least try and get to the bottom of why it is such a magical thing going long.
But ultimately, the fact that you're asking the question means you got there. Nirvana is the journey.
Yes, yeah. Actually, God, that's good. Well done. Can I use that as well?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Do you want to write it with me?
But that's what it's all about. I mean, I think the other thing that makes think of is what you say, Paul, is you always just say, when you're training for distance, you're trying to tap into that part of all of us who enjoy running, which is to go out there and run until you've finished.
Yes.
You know, with no defined finishing point, just until your body can't do it anymore, which once you get going, feels kind of like never.
It does sometimes, on a good day.
But you're going for a bit of a... you see this New York as maybe the last bolt of a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Of a Swift one.
I mean, you know, when I'm trying for a quick marathon, I do stress about split times.
What's your marathon PB?
Well, it's 2:55.
Which is good.
Which is okay. London was 2:59.
Right. What, this year?
This year.
Right.
But, I don't know about the 2:55. My watch said it was 26 miles, not 26.2. Okay. And it was a small marathon.
Where was that?
In France. And I just... There's no kind of... So I'm not sure about that.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't use it as a...
Yeah.
You know, a good for age time.
Yeah.
It was...
It's funny because you sent me that photo of 2:59. Was that at London this year?
Yeah, so what it was, we have...
That was a great photo.
We do these auctions for children in need on the radio show. And we auctioned 7 places in London. You know, Steve Cram offered to help train these guys.
Right.
Him and Alison, where they live up in Northumberland. Paula went for a little run and a Q&A session in Regent's Park. We all had dinner the night before. And I knew that two of these guys, Liam and Jules, wanted to break 3 and hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
And I just had one of those days where my legs were working.
Yeah.
My watch was working.
Yeah.
Remarkably. I mean, every time we went under the balloons, it beeped for a mile.
Brilliant.
And my head was working, you know, I was working it out. So I overtook Jules about 3 miles in, feeling epic. And I said, you know what, you're going too fast. I said, stay with me for a couple of miles.
Yeah.
But we didn't plan it, but we ended up racing the whole thing together.
Yeah.
And I managed to, you know, I was privileged enough to pace him in.
Drag him under, that's brilliant.
And that's that photo that you said, that hug, that's one of my favourite moments.
It looks amazing. Because it looks like you're sort of on a shipwreck or something. Yeah. It looks like.
But to be able to share that with other people, maybe my legs were in shape to do a 2:55 or a 4 or whatever.
Right.
But I would much prefer, and we caught up with Liam, who was literally going backwards with about 5 miles to go.
Yeah.
And and we dragged him along as well.
Brilliant.
And, you know, it was just one of those great days. And you know what London's like.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, you both run London?
Yeah.
I know you have Paul, but Rob, yeah. And you know, the tidal waves of good wishes.
It's amazing.
That's right. Once you go international, you realise how special that is.
Yes, exactly.
Because other European cities of our experience.
In the Bois de Boulogne,
it's sometimes like
in Paris the week before, you may as well be running on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him about Berlin, Rob. Have you done Berlin, Bass?
No.
I did Berlin last year, not the other day, but a year ago.
Yeah.
And I've done London a few times now. And it was going to Berlin that made me realise, because Berlin is very similar to London in many ways. You know, it's a big city, it's a major, it's very nicely run. The starting and finishing area is a good place to be. And then you get out there, and where's the love?
Yeah.
No one's dressed up. No one's behind the fence. There's just that kind of joy of it that London does so well.
Well, and then...
it was so specific.
And then, though, at the finishing line, you know, you finish line. So I had one of the moments, certainly of my running life, but of my actual life as well. You know, it's up there.
Yep.
When we all finished together, we'd done it.
Yeah.
The 2:59, the hug. I'm dragged off to be interviewed. They go somewhere else. And then, you know, there's 50,000 or 40,000 stories like
it's
me
yeah,
and Liam and Jules all crossing the finishing line for one of the moments of their lives.
Yeah.
And then all that goodwill just trickles away down the tube or on the buses.
Yeah.
And there should be a massive party.
Yeah.
You know, in St. James's Park that night with bands and camping and things.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And actually, I'm not even sure I should be telling you this yet because it's so early in the planning stages.
Good, but tell us.
You're having one.
But also for children in need.
Good.
It's not confirmed or anything, but we are...
This is a verbal contract. If you say this now, it's happening.
Well, I wanted to, so let's carry on. We do a festival, two actually, a year called Carfest.
Carfest.
Which are great things and the atmosphere is fantastic. But every running event I've done for the book, you know, there's a real positive energy around it. You know, because you get a load of runners together.
Yeah.
And what's not to like? It goes with the miles. You know, you two are lovely guys. We've only just met, but
they love chatting about running, don't they? There's a commonality, isn't there?
Yeah. So I thought, how about a run fest where you don't just turn up and race and go. You're in, you know, you're all in.
Right,
so you turn up on the Friday, you camp, we have a pasta party, we have maybe a silent disco.
Right.
And whatever parties we have end at 10 p.m.
Yep.
And then you have a 1 mile race for the kids, a 5K, a 10K.
Really good beds in these tents.
Yeah.
Yeah. A half marathon, a marathon, maybe a double marathon. Somewhere beautiful and wonderful. Make it for children in need.
Good idea.
And I just think it could be.
Oh, it's a fabulous idea. Because all the content's there already, isn't it? It's like you say, when you come away from an event, that joy, it dissipates, but it's there.
Exactly.
You know, to be on
so imagine you can distill it into a party. So here we go, into Richmond Park. We just passed the LTA.
Is this Ham Gate?
And the ITF. No, this is Roehampton Gate. Actually, we're almost doing a tour of my children's schools.
Yeah.
Because that is where my son goes to school there.
Excellent, I'll get that.
Hiya, mate.
No, I love it because the closest thing to that is apart from
we're going
to
just cross the road after this meeting. She's going to let us? Thank you.
You want to be allowed to be in that place after run as well, don't you? Because the great thing, the Parkinson's UK, we ran for this year, they have an event at the hotel on the Strand.
Yeah.
And it's just, you need that moment, you know. You need to bottle it.
What I'd like for Runfest is for the whole thing to feel like a sort of, well, like that finishing line in London this year, holding hands across the line sort of moment.
Yes.
Right.
Just to have that ethos about it.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously make it brilliant. We'll obviously get, you know, people involved and, you know, but it just seems too good an opportunity to miss, especially given how much good it would, A, do for children in need, and B, how it could get people active.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
I'm absolutely passionate about that.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
My absolute favourite thing, having written that book, is getting emails or tweets to say, I've got my running mojo back,
where
I've started running, because I read your book. That's, you know, wow, I've won, that's why I wrote it.
Running evangelism, quite right. I think that also, it's potentially you're bottling that alchemy, certainly of London, I hope to find in other marathons, where one, it turns kind of often hardship and difficult stories. Yeah. People have their own reasons for running, their own sort of charities, their own dramas. It alchemizes that into joy.
Yes.
And then the other thing it does is takes all those 40,000 individual stories and turns them into one big one.
Yeah.
And puts everyone together. It's a beautiful thing.
So are you in a club then, Vass, or you just run on your own a lot, or when you do your hill sessions or whatever, you're alone?
Well, what I tend
warrior.
To do is I come in here, Richmond Park.
It's so lovely.
Right on the other side of the park. So that's a little hill
called
Spankers Hill
that
we can see in front of us. But if you go right to the other side of the park in Richmond, there's something called Petersham Hill, which is actually quite famous. It's called Turner's View. So this is amazing. But they turned them into flats. Amazing building on the top with this extraordinary view over Petersham Meadows and a bend in the river.
Right.
And that is the hill. That's the proper hill. There's two.
She's a girl again.
No, this is a wee. Okay. She's a girl dog. But a lot of people mistake that for a poo. Give me the dirty look. I'm glad we're talking about poo again. Yeah. We were getting a bit too wordy.
We got to get a bit off
mass. We were on the poo principles.
So the hills give you...
I enjoy it. You know, I turn up early for the school pick-up. I'm lucky enough most days that I can be there at the gate. And, you know, having this on the doorstep is just so lucky.
It's a fantastic restaurant.
Yeah, Richmond Park's amazing.
Right. So we've done about 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
Are we okay to do it about the same again?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Sounds
so
good.
We'll come out. We'll come out at Robin Hood Gate, which is about a mile away, into Wimbledon Common, up a hill, down a hill.
Yeah.
And
underground, overground.
And then, yeah, exactly.
So, going back to marathons, I feel like there's a bit of a balancing act there between, it sounds like your 2:59 was really steady. You did what I think Paul did this year, which is to kind of pace it out well enough that there's kind of no change in the story. Oh, look, deer over there.
I know there was. I tried to build up enough of a cushion because I knew he'd struggle, or we would struggle.
Yeah. You always slow down a little bit in the second half.
So if you look at the split, so I think we started at about 6:40, 6:35,
right,
and then ended up 7:05,
right. Right.
7:20 even. So what were you at London this year?
I did 3:10. I knew I wasn't going to beat 3.
Yeah.
So I just set off sort of 7:10s. And slowed a bit in the second half, but I felt quite strong throughout. I didn't really...
Yeah.
I didn't feel destroyed by it.
We had a bit of a wind, didn't we? Helping us for a lot of it, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
I was injured. I got cracked a rib at Christmas, which put a real dent in my training. And I had a tough one. I got to about 20:22.
Yeah.
I just had nothing left.
Yeah.
I mean, really nothing.
That's horrible, isn't it?
And yeah, and I was actually really pleased psychologically that I went after that, because I walked... Not for long. Started running about 23, and I just got faster and faster and faster. My 26th mile was as fast as any of my first 10.
Wow.
And it was all on pure stubbornness, you know. Nothing. As soon as I went over the line, I felt like I wanted to go to hospital. But having said that, you know, year before I was much fitter. I'd like to access some of that bullishness, because I came in over the line and thought, yeah, I feel great. And immediately started thinking, well, why didn't I spend this energy during the run?
Yes.
You should feel knackered at the end of a marathon.
Yeah, you should.
You should feel like there's nothing left, really.
It's like we were talking about the bend in the river. That's where they have the boat race.
Yeah.
And I know rowers, and they say the point is, you know, not how fast you can go, but whether you can expend your last drop of energy with the final stroke.
Yeah.
And that's a bit, it's a timing juggling thing, isn't it,
is,
the marathon?
Yeah.
You know, because I'd happily go out and run the first, you know, half in, I don't know, 1:20.
Yeah.
If I knew it would bring me in sub 2:50, however much pain I'd be in, but it doesn't quite work like that.
Because if you get it wrong, it goes really wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love the way I said I'd happily go and run it in 1:20, as if I'm capable of that. I don't know if I am.
Well, you probably are.
You probably are.
But if the pace goes wrong in a marathon,
yeah,
it can be...
No, I'm worried all about you overrunning ahead of York.
Thank you.
Please don't worry.
I'm going to worry until next Sunday. And nothing you say is going to stop me. Unless you say I won't run.
Well, you've got to run. The last 10 days. You can't get fitter. But if you get it too wrong, you can lose a bit, can't you?
No.
Do you not think so?
You can lose a bit by overrunning.
Yeah. I'm definitely of the agreement that you should line up feeling... slightly undertrained in terms of just eager to go. Do you know what I mean?
If you're bouncy legs.
If you're feeling heavy leg, then you've done too much. So
it's no, even if you're feeling normal legs, you've done too much.
Right.
I try not to run for 3 or 4 days before the marathon.
Right.
Yeah. I often do that, a really short one, the Thursday or Friday before the Sunday, but really just to try and play a trick on my body, where it thinks, oh, what, we're going for a run?
Yeah.
And then you don't. So then you leave yourself feeling like you need a run.
Yes. That's a good call. You've got a good idea today.
But tapering's tough, isn't it? Because it does lead to paranoia. It can make you feel rough. You've really got to, but on the other hand, it needs to be done. So you've really got to balance it. You've got to kind of, it's like driving a car. You've got to come to a really gentle, controlled stop.
Yeah. ready to pull away at the lights.
Do you do your carb loading?
I tried that this year for the first time before London.
Yeah,
carb starved.
Same here, actually.
And
you starved first, did you?
Yeah.
Right.
Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
Felt terrible. Met the boys for a... Well, the boys on my street, we have a... we have two things. We have the last Thursday of every month, we all go to the, the dads.
Right.
Go to the pub. And that's in the diaries. But apart from that, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, my diaries are owned by, quite rightly, by our wives.
Yes, yeah.
So, but we, Monday and Tuesday we're allowed. So also once a month, we have burger and beers. And it happened to fall just before the London Marathon.
Okay.
Yeah, burger and beers. So I thought,
well,
I'm not going to ask for this without a bun.
Beer load.
I feel
beer
dizzy. So I didn't do it quite right. But I don't know if it helps. I do it just in case.
I like to bump up just for the few days before, but I don't like to do the staff. But
my secret weapon is malt loaf on the morning of.
Right. Of the morning of the marathon.
Yeah.
That's
malt
nice.
Loaf.
I like it. I love a bit of malt. That's a big one to try.
You can eat it during the marathon if you want, Paul.
Yeah, you can.
He wants to eat and run. Just take a malt loaf. In fact, I think in Yorkshire, there's a malt loaf down the station.
Yeah.
14 miles.
There's a balm cake station.
But I think I used to genuinely, like the recovering fat bloke I am, I thought, oh good, carb loading. That means I can basically eat what I normally eat, plus pizza, in the week before a marathon. But now I'm much more, oh good, I'll have an extra portion of ground rice.
Yeah.
I think it works, it just, it makes you less achy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it can't do any harm, can it? So.
No.
Do you eat during? Do you have gels and stuff?
Then? Only during a fast marathon.
Yeah.
So I did in London.
If you have too many of them, you feel a bit sick though, don't you?
Oh, completely.
Oh, terrible for you.
It's like World War III in my stomach.
Yeah.
When I crossed the line.
Right.
But.
When I got my PB.
Yeah.
I felt so awful afterwards, and it just felt like it was the gels, nothing to do with the run, just the gut rot of the gels.
So riding stables here.
Nice.
And now we're going to cross the A3.
Oh yeah, I wish we could record that smell for the listeners.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real.
Holly, stay.
Good dog.
She's a good dog, you know.
So a number of times I've whizzed down here on the way to a gig and not known how the beauty beyond those gates. That's the nice thing about going for a run.
Yeah.
Somewhere you've been to before, but not running.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It always shows you the beauty of it.
Chrissy Wellington, who is generally awesome, both as an athlete and a human being, says that Richmond Park might well be her favourite place to run.
Yeah.
It is a great place, yeah.
Because you have that path out around the outside that we went to. We did a little flat mile or so of it.
Yeah.
But you also have the hills inside, you have the deer.
And right round it is about 7, isn't it?
7,
and a bit.
Yeah,
so
I think so, yeah.
So for your long runs, it's nice, isn't it, to do a few laps or whatever if you fancy it?
Yeah, I mean, I tend not to, actually, to do...
You don't like your laps?
I find it stressful, and I try not to be stressed during a run.
Right.
Because I know how fast I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I run home from work every day.
Right.
Which is about 6 miles.
Right.
And I know that, you know, at my best... I will get to the gates of Hyde Park in 7 minutes.
Right.
And so then I can't help looking at my watch, and if it says 10, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going so slowly today. And I can't help myself. I go, well, I should speed up.
You've got to get off watch, mate. You must get off watch at some point.
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah. It's only now, because I've decided to have one last crack at a marathon PB.
Right.
We're sort of pressure off crack as well.
Yeah.
If I do it, fine, great. But if I don't, I'm quite happy, because in my own mind.
Well, it seems like a really positive relationship between your 100 miles and your marathon. Because on the one hand, it takes the psychological pressure off, but it's got to be great training for it.
Yes, I'm not worried about, you know...
the miles.
Hitting the wall, really.
Yeah.
I will do a 20-miler, I guess.
Although, it's still pace-dependent, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it?
If you set
up
too fast, you could still hit the wall.
Well, this guy...
And it's achievable.
Gosh, look at this today.
So this is called Richardson's Evans Playing Fields.
Beautiful.
And the other side where you can see those trees,
gorgeous.
Which we're heading for, is Wimbledon Common.
Beautiful. This is great.
Where's Rob gone? No.
Same photo.
Off you go, come on.
Brilliant. Oh, lucky to be here today.
So I'm sensing private schools near here. Is this private schools?
Wimbledon. Do you remember when Wimbledon were the crazy gang?
Yeah.
The football team.
Yes, yeah.
Vinnie Jones and that, right?
Yeah.
They used to train here.
Right.
I think there are private schools that train here as well, but I think it's public land.
It's brilliant. Yeah. You know, it's fantastic.
Those houses there,
but it's
you can just sort of see peeping into onto it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's an estate.
Yeah.
And not an especially nice one.
Yeah. But somehow these gulls
reminds you
just look posher than the ones at Hackney Marshes.
Yes, they do.
The grass does.
Yeah.
No,
the Hackney Marsh is a good place to run.
We've done a few miles around there.
Yeah, it's not far from my place. I did the Hackney Half a couple of years ago. That was a hot one.
Through the Olympic Park, or was it not?
Yeah, it went to the Olympic Park, which is, you know, it's exciting and great. It was the first time they did that.
Yeah. But I was working in the Olympic Park that day. I was at BT Sport presenting a show.
Ah, so you know, it was quite hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no shade in there. And everyone was getting pretty grumpy. And there was this great moment where you turned sharply back on yourself at about 11 and a bit miles, just where you could see the 12-mile mark.
Yeah.
And everyone in that corner was going, oh, God, go, go, go,
go. It's something about the finish of races generally, marathons in particular, only because it's the longest one I've done. The nearer you get to it, the further away it seems. It's a bit like having a kid. It's like the nearer you get to the kid being born, the more unlikely it is that it's all going to happen.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're chasing this elusive grail of the finish.
I actually find that in shorter races.
Right.
I'm all right with marathons and things because I'm pretty good at staying in the moment. But, you know, I'll be here.
Yeah.
We're just the other side of that war memorial. Next Saturday, doing the Wimbledon Common Half, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's wise to do one half.
Yeah.
Ahead of a crack at a PB.
Yeah.
And I will be thinking, this is never ending.
Right.
Yeah. How can I possibly only be at mile 6?
Yeah.
How is that humanly possible? I'm not halfway. You know, I've been going for seemingly all of my life.
Yeah.
Actually, I did a 10K. They invited me to start it in Andover for a nice charity.
Right.
And I like to do it if I can because, you know, again, it gets people running. It's it's a good thing. Making money for good causes. And I ran that the day after a long run.
That's good. You're going to feel that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That so felt never ending. That was only 6 months.
So you started it and raced off simultaneously. Did
yeah.
you?
Did
you?
Actually, I didn't start it.
Oh, right.
There was a kid. There was a kid called Ronnie, I think, whose 10th birthday it was.
Right.
So I got him to start it.
Brilliant. But like you say, when you're on a shorter distance and it's not a sprint, it's amazing. Even a 5K, even a park run, you can get 3K in and think, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's further
all about
than this.
Pace, isn't it? Yeah.
And I don't like kilometres at all. Going back to Berlin.
Do you not?
I found counting off the 40. Best part of 43.
Yeah.
Just did my head in compared to 26.2.
Oh, really? I'm the opposite. I like it because they tick by quicker.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was obviously a bad day for me, but it's like you say, I knew they were supposed to tick by quicker.
Yeah.
And it's still taking forever. It took me my whole life to get this kilometre, and it's not even a mile, I was thinking.
Right, so we've got a bit of a hill here.
Right.
And frankly, there's no way around it.
Yeah, we'll do it.
As long as you do the talking.
We'll do it. The good news is we'll be going down a hill the other side. Once we reach the top, we're about 10-15 minutes from home.
Is it true what you said, that the Great North One doesn't count as a proper half marathon?
Yeah.
It's downhill.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of gradient you're at. So like, I suppose, you know, 100 metres world record isn't quite a world record or a long jump if you've got too much wind behind.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Same thing, I guess. I don't know what the exact...
So much of an advantage.
Where the line in the sand is.
Yeah.
Do you feel it when you're running it, that it's kind of swifter and more...
No. Well, you feel the exact opposite.
That's all in two massive hills, isn't it? Because there's a huge downhill at the beginning.
But you think... You don't really notice that because you think it's your legs feeling.
Yeah, because you've just started, that's right.
Yeah.
And then there's one... Not quite close enough to the end. And the rest of it just feels slightly uphill.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, like this.
Yeah.
Just mildly uphill on this dual carriageway.
It doesn't look like this, exactly. Yeah. It's just on a really arterial road. But I love that finish because you come down here and think, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm not quite there.
Windsor Half, which the Radio 2 team did on Sunday. And I cried off because of darts,
yeah,
which I still think is my favourite ever excuse not to run.
Yeah.
Sorry, darts.
Emergency darts.
Emergency darts in Cardiff. Got to go and see Phil Taylor. The Long Mile in Windsor Great Park is a sort of long, steady mile,
yeah,
up a hill or down a hill when you're coming back towards the finish.
Yeah.
But you pass a 12-mile mark and you think, right, okay, miles ago, then you're round the corner and the finish is just there.
Yeah. Right.
There it is. Oh, right. Oh, they've obviously got that wrong, so I'll start sprinting.
Yeah.
and then, yes.
Then they send you off again.
Then you look up and it's got further away.
Oh, it's got to hurt.
So what ultras are you looking to beyond what will inevitably be a marathon PB in New York? Where do you want to get into Europe, get into some of those long mountainy ones?
So, very much. Yes, I loved South Downs Way because it was hilly. Not because it's hilly, but because you look up and the views... I mean, the South Downs. I would not know the South Downs unless I was a runner. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Peak District, we were talking about again before we started recording.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that just the most stunning place in the world?
But we're also saying how it's such a great mindset to be in, to be desperate to go up a hill.
Yeah.
Majority of the Peak District thinking, what am I doing in the car?
Yeah.
And you were saying that the training benefits of running up hills is probably similar to interval training. Paul was doing some interval training yesterday.
Yeah.
How was that? It was great. Yeah, we did 1,000 metres. Then we did 600 metres, and then we did 2,000 at the end.
Whoa.
So it was pretty intense in the last 2,000, you know.
You seem very sprightly this morning after that.
No, it was fine, I enjoyed it. I really enjoy it. But I think long hills are just the absolute best for strength.
Yeah. I think, there's almost like stealth speed training, aren't
they? Yeah. They're not speed, but it's that strength you get off them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably you can feel it.
Oh, horses.
I think a little horse. Good afternoon. Good morning. Is it morning?
Oh, look at that.
This is it. Last bit of hill.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Hi. Rob stopped to take a photo.
Yeah, we can do it.
So are you confident ahead of York?
I'm confident that I'm going to run a PB. And it's all that thing of your window of sub-3 or 3.5 just the margin of error, you know.
You sound exactly like I was before London.
Just tempo. Just I've got to sort out my pace. Yeah. And if it feels too quick, sub-3, I've got to pull back. Or else I will end up running it slower, you know. I've got 3 20-mile runs in the bank. And I've done PBs at 5K and 10K this summer. So it's all pointing in the right direction.
How old are you?
47. So I'm a bit older. And you do get slower, naturally.
Although not till you're... Isn't it true that your 19-year-old self, which is when you hit adulthood as a male...
Right.
You then improve physiologically as a runner...
Yeah.
Every year till you hit your peak at 27.
Right.
At which point you start deteriorating.
Yeah.
So you hit your 19-year-old self again, not 8 years later.
Actually, hard on the face, I do.
You hit your 19-year-old, yes. Very good.
Here he comes, chief sod.
Poof! I know. And I'd kick me when I was down as well.
Well, I've come across this thing about peaking at 27 before.
Yeah.
And the fact that I didn't go for any kind of run until I was 35.
Yeah, same sad. With me. But here's the good news. You're back at 19 at 64.
Oh, that's interesting. That sounds good.
But will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Then, of course, you had, in terms of long distance, you had Carlos Lopez winning the Olympic marathon at 37.
Yeah.
You know, you can definitely get fit, do faster in the marathon later.
Look at Joe
Pavey.
But
beyond 40. Yeah.
Yeah. But who's
Joe Pavey's incredible.
Over 65 record holder, the woman in your books.
Oh, Angie Cobson. Was she the loveliest person?
Until she was in her 60s.
Yeah. 59, first run.
Yeah. Incredible. That makes you feel better about the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it also makes you think, and I'm always... Actually, you know, when I was starting that 10K and I was giving me a little talk, I said, you know, please don't ever think it matters how fast or how far. And we sort of slightly obsessive runners can get too bogged down in that, I think.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how fast or how far.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're doing a 10K, then it does matter.
If you're racing, yeah.
But well, even if you're doing a 10K, it doesn't matter how fast, I don't think. If it's not your day, it's not your day.
Yes. Yeah.
And we celebrate, absolutely. You can end up, we start competing, start talking about what they've done, and every achievement is great. But all running is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you went out and had a run, that's great.
This is the last little scrape.
All right, oh, okay.
Last little scrape.
Interesting.
We can run round it.
No, let's run up it.
Here we go, we're climbing.
This is a proper climb.
A little climb back there wasn't as much as this, but I did get behind taking a picture of the horse and then had to run to catch you up. Very poorly timed on my part.
This is it. Wait, that thing you can see, that bit of grass.
Yeah.
That's the top of the hill.
Cool.
And it is literally downhill all the way.
Gorgeous. I keep saying every time we go out on a nice day this sort, I say we can't have many more days like this.
This is not, autumn's been great so far, hasn't it?
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Watch out here.
Yeah.
Loose stones and roots and things.
This is marvellous.
I think you can go, oh no, I know you can go around this hill, but I just never have, so apologies.
Let's go through it, yeah.
So the...
This is the Wimbledon Common 5K. Comes what, around there.
What, the park run?
Yeah.
So that looks good for park run, yeah, actually.
It's nice. Pancake flat.
That's great.
And it's just on this, but this great. This becomes like a bog, a marsh.
Right, yeah. Okay.
In winter.
It's like the one we've both done in South Manchester. It's just, goes around the edge of the park, and when it's been raining a bit, you get these big puddles, and next to the path is a drainage ditch. So I say, yes, it is muddy, and yes, you do have to run straight through it. Yeah. Which really is quite a lot of fun. The park, excuse when you don't get your PB.
The park runs are incredible, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Incredible part of the running movement and what's happened there. It's just...
I was actually going to give Tom Williams, who's managing director, and or Chrissy, who's in charge of the junior, a call about this... about this run fest, because it just seems to be exactly the sort of thing that they'd
get into,
should be involved in.
Yeah,
he was going well.
He was, wasn't he? I was going to go down there, but
we're
doing a little.
Yeah,
and
he had a look
proper
on his
chest
face.
On him as well, like a triathlete, you know.
But to have a free timed age category type thing like that is just fantastic, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
For every level of runner, you know,
as well, it's beautiful.
And
each individual person who goes and does one is in their little club, either on their own or with their mates or with just the normal faces they see. But you're connected to something that's happening everywhere in the world.
And again, that thing about the positive energy around running.
Yeah.
That Paul Sinton Hewitt, randomly, I'd never met him before, came to this talk that I gave and was quite nervous about giving at the Bloomsbury Institute.
Right.
You know, they take one of their authors across any subject.
Okay.
And give them in once a month.
Yeah.
And say, you know, here you go. And they sell tickets. Brilliant. And I thought, first of all, no one would come. And second of all, the hell am I going to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, the following month was a philosopher.
Right. Okay.
but it was great. And Paul Sinton Hewitt came and I met him there. And you just will not meet a more kind of... it sounds like equanimity.
Sanguine.
Just the most sort of... happy, content.
Right.
Content human being, yeah. And again, nice people. Runners are nice people.
It's the running, isn't it?
It's good for the soul.
It is.
And it is having a time as well. Like you say, if you do this run fest, it's the right moment. You know, park runs, run fest. The number of people who are thinking, I think I will run.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually great that there's this core of people who've always run or people who are incredible runners, famous athletes and stuff. But what's happening now is just anyone is in a position where they think, yeah, I'll run.
Yeah.
It seems to be growing, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think even since I started running, the number of people you see out and about in the streets...
I know, it's fantastic, isn't it?
It seems exponentially bigger.
Right, where are we? This way, right.
I was just going to say, it's so nice to not be in charge of the map.
So this is Putney Heath. So that little tunnel we went through, which was underneath the A3, we crossed the A3 at, it's called a roundabout, but it's not, Robin Hood roundabout.
Yeah.
And then we just ran up a hill parallel to the A3, but in Wimbledon Common, and crossed it again. So we're Putney Heath, then it'll be Barnes Common, and we're back.
Great. Yeah.
And as I say, it's all downhill.
Yeah, perfect.
Which is good, because Holly seems tired.
Holly's annoying. I once did a four-hour run in the Downs in the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And I was on the top of a down, so a steep downhill on either side, so on the ridge. And she comes screaming up the side of the hill with this huge stick asking me to throw it. Well, really, we've been 4 hours, Holly.
She's got to be the fittest dog in South West London.
Yeah,
for that,
which is not
doubt.
A competitive field.
Holly? So, yeah, what, have you got any events after New York lined up?
Well, yes, you did ask me about the long stuff next year. And, well, the people who I was talking to during the Southwest Downs 100, South Downs Way, sorry, 100, were raving like I do about that.
Right.
About this thing in Greece called the Spartathlon.
Oh, all right.
Which
yes.
is, it's 153 miles. I think you've got to do the first marathon in sort of 35 degree heat.
Right.
In under 4 hours, or yeah. it's the cut-offs that
they
are brutal.
They have cut-offs there, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And apparently you climb a mountain at 100 miles.
Nice.
But they said, you know, well, they were raving about that, honestly, like I am raving about the 100 miles.
Right.
To the point almost of lunacy. So I thought, well, that's got to be it. Plus, I'm Greek.
Yeah.
Just so long as you don't ever pull the fire dippities at the end. Well, that was great.
Stay. Good girl. Off you go.
So that's how many miles?
153.
Right.
And there's the UTMB, the Ultra Trail, the Mont Blanc.
Yes.
Which I just need to do one more 50, I think, and I qualify.
Right.
And will you be in London? I mean, it's just the London Marathon, so.
Oh, no, I'll be in London because we're flogging it again for Children in Need.
Very
right.
good.
So we're doing the package, you know, we've got... so when we announce that package, the running package,
yeah.
you know, we say we'll do London, you'll be VIP at the front of London, you'll go right. to Crammy's, Paula will help. We've also said there is a mystery event we can't tell you about, which is the thing I just blurted out.
It's the Spartathlon.
It's that run fest thing I was
right,
going on
okay,
about.
Cool.
So in retrospect, I really shouldn't have told you, but never mind.
Well, at this stage, it's an idea.
Yeah, as it happens.
We have a core group of listeners. We won't put it on the labelling. Listeners, that's between us, okay?
Yes, shush. But I'm honestly going to try and make it happen. I love the fact that I've talked about it now in public because pressure on to make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a great idea. Well, like, it's the time.
Yeah.
So the runs
also
getting...
Bob Graham round. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I'd love to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
think if I felt I could do it, I'd be into that. But I'm just scratching at running up fells at the moment. But I love running in the lakes, and to run up mountains that I once slogged up walking for hours.
Yeah,
it's a very satisfying feeling. I just don't know if I could do 72.
I think you could.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all these people, you'll be start all these things. I don't know if I could do 62 miles, 100 miles.
Yeah. But what are your long tracks? Do you have a weekly, or maybe a bi-weekly, very, very long run?
No, I don't, no.
You don't?
But what I do is I run places when I could easily bike or tube or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So I run home from work. I didn't do it today because I was meeting you guys.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
I run home from work every single day.
Right.
So that's 6 miles in the legs.
Yeah.
But that dog needs a run. So that pretty much guarantees I'm out again.
Right.
Yep.
And if I'm going to take it for a 20-minute walk, yes. I may as well run,
yep.
even if that's all I've got.
Right.
I think
just little and often.
And running and stopping and running again on any given day is great for your fitness as well.
I think it's a lot.
It's better than one longer run.
Since I started doing that, yeah. So I did. I only did a 4.5-hour run before the 100 mile because I just literally didn't have time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the accumulation, plus they say, and I think they're probably right, the first 50 is in the legs, the second 50 is in the head.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And the third 50
doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
But how was it? So the one, what's it called? The one on Ridgeway.
Race to the Stones.
Race to the Stones. That was mid-July, isn't it?
That is mid-July.
And how long after that was your 100?
Oh, no, that was the June following year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
But actually, the day after that, due to an enormous diary gaffe, I promised Jensen Button, who'd done me a favour to be interviewed by the book,
yeah.
for the book, that I would run his triathlon
right.
in Derby. And that was the day after the Race to the Stones.
Oh,
so
my word.
Actually, the swim was awesome, because having spent a day at low intensity, you know, using my legs,
yeah.
to not have to use my legs and to have a... It was only a sprint, so a 750-metre thrash in the water. I'm a terrible swimmer, and I was second out of the water.
Yeah. Right.
But then the first step I took in transition, I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah.
And the bike ride was feeble, and then the run was just 5 kilometres of... It just felt like my... my legs were a very posh wine glass with a very thin stem, shattering every time I put them down.
That's a lovely metaphor. Oh my God. Simile, not metaphor. Thank you, pedantic listeners.
No, you were right first time.
Was I? But you said your legs were, yes. Damn it. But Jensen Button's are quite the athlete, isn't he? I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I did London next to him last year, and he got an incredible time.
2:53, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Very shiny at the end.
Yeah, I know. Damn him. We can go left here.
Right.
I'm aware I said it would be an hour.
Sorry.
Right, we're an hour and 2 minutes.
That's so.
But we are back in Barnes.
We're doing well.
It's beautiful. It's really good.
So the book then, how long did it take you to do it? Did you enjoy working on it?
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
I like the structure of it. I like the...
Thank you.
It's one of those where you can read the whole thing, or you can dip in, you can... Yeah. Do you know, it's inspiring in every... Wherever you dip into it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, thanks. Well, I know. I enjoyed writing it. I was writing it at the same time as Chris Evans, who I work with, was writing his Call the Midlife.
Right.
So he would annoyingly... text
how
me,
many words you've done,
you know, on a Sunday morning at 6:30 saying, you know, 1500 words already, you. And he has this thing where he sort of ring fences 3-4 hours to write.
Right.
And my now 2-year-old daughter had only just been born when I was writing it, and I just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And whenever I did, I panicked. Why aren't you writing? So what I just did, what I found worked for me, was I wrote it on the iPhone.
Okay.
Just
whilst running.
Well, actually, the first time I did, I was waiting for my daughter who'd shut her finger in the car door to have an x-ray.
Oh,
so we were just waiting.
Right.
She was in there with the x-ray, and I couldn't go in because it was an x-ray machine. So I just started writing. I had an idea, and I just started writing. The last chapter, actually.
Right.
And I frequently thought, you know, none of this is actually going to go in the book, but at least I'm starting. At least I'm doing something. And then you read it back through, and you think, oh, that's all right. I mean, it might not be tight.
Right.
But, and then... They're so lovely, my publishers. They're so, you know, Charlotte and Sarah, who helped me edit it. But you knew that the deadline meant the deadline.
Okay. We're nice, but get it done. Yeah.
Well, I sent one email saying, and well, remind me what the deadline was again. She goes, as per the contract, the 5th of August.
Ouch.
So we were on holiday in France just before that. This lovely place my in-laws own. Stay, Holly.
Okay.
And so instead of just, you know, putting the kids to bed and opening a rosé and, you know, having a nice chat as usual, we sat down. Well, we still opened a rosé, actually.
Right, yeah.
We just
sat
down, and she's so clever, my wife, and she's so perceptive. And we just read it through together. And she would say, no, that bit's not right. I see what you're trying to say here, but it doesn't come across right.
Sounds really nice, yeah.
And it was actually one of my favourite... So, I mean, it's sort of... When we sat down, first time, we thought, this is going to feel like work. But we felt very kind of bonded and close together doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt so grateful and honoured that she did.
And nice to be edited by someone who must know you so well.
Yeah.
To get it. Oh, I see where we are. That's great.
So this here is a great pilgrimage spot because somebody of rock and roll fame, whose name escapes me, drove their car into that ditch down there.
Oh, all right.
And there's a plaque somewhere there.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's to you, Mark. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there. Can you see the... there's a plaque and some balloons and things.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s. But you'd have definitely heard of him.
Mark Bolan.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
And then left down here.
He came up in Stoke Newington. They used to have his leather top hat in Stoke Newington Library. And there was a petition went round to call this pub. It didn't happen. And then they called it Defoe's. And now it's called the Tea House. But they wanted to call it the White Swan.
Yeah.
Of course, classic pub name.
Yes.
But as in Rider White Swan.
Right.
I think that would have been great. It's a shame it didn't happen. Bit of bowling.
We're literally 5 minutes. Is that okay? I don't
want. That's fine. Yeah.
I do not absolutely want to be responsible for ruining months of training
by overdoing
it on your.
No, this is fine.
Well, I know you're fine.
This is fine.
Robert, you're okay. You don't have a sort of kamikaze urge to run 16 miles.
I got these ridiculous rash of twinges in my legs, but I know I can run on them. So I will be taking it easy over the next 10 days. Yeah. I think we're ready for York. I really do. I think. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. I didn't know if he was.
I think that our. I think we've done quite a good job. I think we're a bit like Khalil Gibran's Pillars of the Temple. Yeah. He's done a good job of training parallel without training completely together.
Are you guys members of a running club?
He is.
No, I'm with... I just joined Heathside this year, London Heathside.
How is that? Because I keep meaning to join Barnes Runners.
Oh, it's great. It's great because... Just for the long intervals and the... You just train harder than you would do on your own. With faster runners, yeah. You know. So you feel the improvement, you know. And also information sharing and all that stuff. And it's just good to spend just a bit of time with like-minded enthusiasts, you know, who are just as into running as you, if not more so.
Yeah.
And I was in a running club when I was a kid, so...
As opposed to trying to spend with me, which is running with somebody who's into running, but less so.
No, we're all into running, but it's that group thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this.
And you get into different races and stuff that you might not normally hear about.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Smaller, swifter ones,
that
you know.
That speedy one in Victoria Park.
I like the mass ones,
yeah.
But I like the small ones sometimes as well that are cheaper to enter. And you just rock up.
Yeah.
Where's the nearest one to you? Serpentine, is it?
No, I mean, well, they're in Hyde Park, which I run through every day. But there's Barnes Runners.
Yeah.
And we're in Barnes.
Yes, yeah.
There's Sheen Shufflers,
right.
Who I love because they have a junior section. And Teaches. They're called Shufflers and they don't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah, I like that idea, yeah.
Watch out.
Yep. So your kids are getting into running then?
Yeah. I mean, I had to drag one of them sort of kicking and screaming into running, but she now gets it. She's just, you know, my daughter is... My 12-year-old daughter is an amazing human being in many, many ways, but you'd never previously have described her as calm.
Right.
But running has just
Children.
Rounded off the edges a little bit.
Okay. That sounds good.
She doesn't like park runs anymore. She'll run during a park run,
right.
But she won't
run
take her chip. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Or she'll just come off early or just decide to do a different route and meet us at the end.
Brilliant.
Because she just wants to run for herself. She's 12 now, so she can.
That's fair enough, yeah.
But my son likes it.
Did you run when you were a kid then?
Not at all, no.
Right.
I sort of secretly didn't mind the primary school cross country.
Right.
Which was just round the block, actually. Even
yeah.
It was called cross country. But, you know, admitting that would have been, you know, like admitting you liked homework.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah. I thought it was just me, but thinking back, they did kind of wield cross country as basically a punishment.
Yes. Yeah. And Noel Thatcher, the Paralympian, who's broken many world records and won many gold medals.
Yeah.
He actually started running literally as a punishment for being caught smoking.
I cut a corner of a football pitch on a 3-mile run in the snow when I was at school and got a detention. And I can just still remember thinking, really?
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
I was, during cross country, I was the rather strange kid out in front running really quickly. I was that kid.
I was a kid
who was like really good. Yeah, I used to love it.
I was secretly jealous of that kid. But I couldn't admit it.
It was quite a lonely position, but good fun. Yeah.
So you're what, like five years or so older than me? So you're still talking 70s?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's great what's happened to running.
Yeah, I caught the first running boom sort of like around the 80s, around LA Olympics and stuff.
Yes.
And then I came away from running and then got back into it later.
When did you start the column?
Probably about 6 years ago now.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. I actually got in touch with them. I'd done a guest one for them. And then I just said, you fancy? And they said, yeah. It's been a good motivational tool for me, actually.
And you run, as I found out, writing about running, you run with your eyes open, don't you? Because you're always looking for
Yes.
stuff, material.
Yeah. And it's good for your thoughts anyway, running.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There was one, wasn't there? You went in a wood on holiday. That must have been quite... Must have been about 5-6 years ago, was it?
Right. So I'm trying to think
and
now.
You got lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been... I get lost a lot. Yeah. But I don't really... But no, the little scrapes that happen to you.
Yeah.
There's often just little adventures, aren't they, when you're off on your own, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So what's next for you two after York?
London, I reckon. Well, and you'd like to go long next year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I will do London again. I'd like to do Chicago or New York or an international major marathon.
Yeah, Berlin.
Oh, Berlin's first on my list.
Yeah,
just
all
sample
right.
That lack of atmosphere.
No, I think Berlin is great. We have to specify. I think everyone. It was my bad day.
No, but I'd love to go. I'd love to New York actually.
I want to do New York in maybe next year. Yeah, stupid to put things a long way away. Yeah. I'd like to do it in 2 years because it was the first one. You know, I thought to myself when I signed up for London for the first time, and then I'll do New York before I'm 50. You know. And next year, next autumn, will be my 10-year running anniversary.
Oh, nice. So you can sort of...
So kind of finish that off.
Give yourself a present.
Yeah.
What about Comrade or something like that?
Yeah, well, maybe. Is that 52 miles, is it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to train for this by doing a 50K on the Thames Path.
Yeah.
But we bowed out. Because you thought that would be counterproductive.
Yes, it would be.
We just thought it'd be just... You know, you frame it in your head of like, it's just a long, slow training run.
Yeah.
When in fact, it's 5 miles further than a marathon. We weren't really fit enough anyway.
Yeah.
And we'd have just hurt ourselves, so we kind of pulled back from that. You have got to be very fit to do an ultra, haven't you? You can't get fit during it.
I don't think so, no. Yeah. I think you have to have... I mean, I think, you know, my lots of little... runs add up to, you know, long ones.
Yeah. But you still got a 4.5 hour in.
I got
which
one,
which is great for confidence. Yeah.
Yes. It really wasn't.
Right.
It was a real struggle. It was like scraping.
Right.
All the way around. But I purposefully didn't eat. I just thought, look, I'll make sure I feel worse now than I do.
I do that sometimes. Do a long run with no food. Here we go.
Yeah. And this is us. I mean, I'm just sitting here.
We got the best of the weather there. It's clouded over slightly now.
Sorry?
We got the best of the weather. It's clouding over.
Yeah?
As it's so often the case. I'd just like to share my love for the title of your book. Because I've been talking a lot about running-related songs this summer. And I love that you've got one. It doesn't actually mention running.
That's my number one song, though. If you want...
Oh, yeah.
If I was a DJ and I wanted to fill a dance floor, I think it might be...
Yeah.
Well, maybe Uptown Funk now, but it always had been.
Careful, yeah, yeah. No, I used to, a couple of times in Edinburgh, playing the late live band, so...
Yeah.
It's a big gig, and also finishing at 5 a.m.
Whoa!
And we would close... In fact, this time we were closing with Bohemian Rhapsody, but we closed with Don't Stop Me Now a few times. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And I love the open-endedness of it. You leave everyone thinking, la, 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 la.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Great run. Thanks, Vassos. Yeah, that was lovely.
Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed that.
I can tell you how far is everyone in. Here we are.
We are.
Yeah, how far did we go and at what speed?
We did...
14 clicks,
14K? Yeah,
oh,
we did...
clicks, is it?
A 1 hour 15, and we did nearly 9 miles.
Wonderful.
8 3/4.
That's okay.
We'd recommend your book to anyone.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say so.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great read. Morning.
And we hope that thing you told us about is going to happen.
That thing that we can't talk about. Yeah.
And, we hope that this works so that listeners can... Listeners, get in touch with us. We're RunComPod on Twitter, RunComPod on Facebook. And keep in touch. Let us know what you're up to.
Awesome.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.